You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place one show at a time.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
All right.
Take it away, Dad.
All right, thanks. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Some breaking up there, but I'm pretty sure it'll be fine as we go on into the show. Welcome to the show, folks, and it is another great day, another great evening on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and my guest is Francie Healy, author. Hopefully she's an author, but a lot of times they're not authors. They're just great guests, great people. And this show is all about making the world a better place. Thanks for joining the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live out of Chicago, another beautiful, picturesque day in this great, great city. Calling this show one of the finest shows in Chicago, finest internet shows in Chicago. I totally appreciate that. And we're always trying to get better all the time. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is Tuesday, August 2nd. Wow, July. Summer is almost on its last leg, but we're totally enjoying it. This is just marvelous, the weather, and I hope it's, as I always say, I hope it's nice and weather-wise where you are. You know, I hope you're having a positive day. Go on to have a positive week. It's so gorgeous. All right, let's get on. Let's get on with this show, Wilder Jr. Show. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, Twitter. Google them all over the place, as I always say every day on the show. 347-1-762. Oh man, Trump, Donald Trump. I mean, there isn't a day or a moment goes by that Donald Trump doesn't do something exciting. he's shooting himself in the foot, but he's blaming others, you know. So. And this guy, I tell people all the time, get the popcorn, because this is what's happening with the Republican Party in general, especially with Donald Trump at the helm, is history making. Some of this stuff has never happened to Donald Trump. From all reports, if you read some of the reports in the major newspapers like the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of these high-end newspapers, outlets. I mean, Donald Trump, according to some of these people, you know, Donald Trump is a defective candidate. That's putting it lightly, if you ask me. you know what I mean, defective. And that's putting it pretty lightly. Donald Trump is pissed off. I mean, he's totally gone off the damn rails. This guy, and it makes you wonder, how in the hell did this guy start being as, you know, out of control as he is? And it is not funny. It's not a laughing matter. It's not amusing. It is downright scary. If you guys out there aren't, or you know someone who isn't following Donald Trump, tell them to start following this guy. He's a carnival guy. He's an entertainer. He's a buffoon. He is no politician. Donald Trump is so used to people having to kiss his ass, and when other people aren't going to do it, he just doesn't know how to act. He just goes beside himself when there's people out there who will not kiss his ass, who will actually criticize him on numerous things that he does, unpresidential. Okay, you might have heard this, folks. I mean, it's all over the place. Obama came out and said, hey, wow, this guy is unfit. He should not be nowhere near the White House. Why are you Republicans still supporting him? You know, and that's a good question. I'm not an Obama fan, but I totally agree with him on this. You know, I mean, why, if you're criticizing someone, why are you still supporting them? Donald Trump, if you're trying to save the Republican Party from Donald Trump, it's too damn late. He had already destroyed it. It's over. And he just, you know, like Donald Trump has himself, he's in a hole. Donald Trump is in a hole. But you know what? The guy keeps on digging. And he digs and digs and digs and digs. Donald Trump seemed at some points, he can't control himself of what he says, what he does, how he says it. You know, earlier today, I'm thinking it was earlier today. Maybe it was yesterday. But anyway, I'm believing it was earlier today because it's being reported today that some veteran gave Donald Trump his medal. I don't know if maybe the Medal of Honor or something like that. But he gave a Vietnam vet gave Donald Trump his medal. And Donald Trump said, wow, I'm glad to get this. It was easy. This was easy. Donald Trump has been reported he has 5 deferments. That means he's gotten out of going to the military or serving in the military 5 times. He's never been in the military. None of his children, and they are adults now, they've never gone to the military. I'm pretty sure they've gotten deferments too. So to me, I don't think they have the right to actually say anything on Veterans Affairs. But Donald Trump, you know, some guy giving, I think that was a farce. I mean, that was stupid. I think that was a very stupid thing for this veteran to do, give up his medal to Donald Trump, somebody who doesn't deserve it. I mean, what are you trying to do? Make a statement saying that Donald Trump is your guy? So you're going to give up your U.S. medal that you've probably were, you got shot in combat, you were wounded, and suddenly the government gives you a medal? And you're going to give that medal away to some idiot known as Donald Trump? I don't know. I'm not impressed. A lot of people are not impressed by that. Donald Trump is down in the polls. Hillary's beating his ass, and he's trying to say that just because he's behind. Anytime Trump is down in anything, he comes up to say it's rigged, it's phony, they're working against me. Somebody's cheating. There's no one cheating this guy. Women can't stand him. He's lost the women's vote time after time. It was some little boy. There was some report that there was a 10-year-old child at one of Donald Trump's recent rallies. He was holding up a sign. It was a sign against Hillary. And the young child, 10-year-old child, yelled out, lock that bitch up, you know, addressing these comments to Hillary Clinton at a Donald Trump rally. And you wonder why Donald Trump is not, you know, one of the favorites of women. And I've said this before. I don't know why any woman anywhere would vote for Donald Trump, but there is some out there who's going to do it. And Donald Trump couldn't think 2 squats of you. But you hate Hillary so much that you hate Hillary so much that you're willing to vote for some guy who's totally unfit for office, who totally cannot control himself, who totally has looked into the camera and told Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails, and the next day they did. Some guy who has lambasted and belittled women. Some guy who really cannot control himself, what he says. Piss him off, and he's got to come back at you. And right now, he's throwing a tantrum, and he refuses to back Paul Ryan of the United States House of Representatives, and McCain, Senator John McCain, a war veteran. And these guys are up for re-election for their individual offices. And the thing is, these two people who Donald Trump is now refusing to endorse, they endorse him. They are on his side. They're endorsing him for president, but Donald Trump will not endorse them so that they can keep their jobs in Congress. That's crazy. Now, if you think about it, Ryan and McCain, they can say, well, since he's not endorsing us for us to keep our jobs, why should we endorse him for him to become president of the United States? Which is, in my thinking, is logical. This just tells you the rift and the breakup and the ripping in the Republican Party. Donald Trump, in my estimation, has torn the Republican Party apart. I mean, he is the face of the Republican Party. It's an awful face, but he's the face of it. And Obama is right. He's saying, wow, you guys do not condone some of the things he says or some of the things he does, but why are you still supporting him? He doesn't support you. The reason why he's not supporting Ryan and McCain, because Ryan and McCain, they've said some things that about Trump that he didn't like, so he's not going to support them, even though they still support Donald Trump. Why? I don't know. But anyway, he is down in the polls. Hillary is leading him almost by double digits in every category. And by this, Trump is desperate. He's afraid he's going to lose. And he's going to lose. He is really going to lose. I think that the majority of his supporters are men, white men. I mean, if you look at his rallies, if you watch any parts of his convention last week, you hardly saw a person of color. I mean, there was Dr. Ben Carson, but you don't count him. You know, he's an idiot. He's a brain surgeon in need of a brain surgeon. So you don't count him. But basically, there was no people of color at his conventions. There's no majority of the people at his rallies are haters, idiots, buffoons, just like he is. And there are some reports, and I believe this is true, that the majority of Donald Trump supporters are just mad and pissed off at the world, at Obama, at Hillary, at anything. And it's just awful. It's just awful. Trump, he throws a tantrum. He's like a little kid. He gets pissed off and he wants to take his toy and go home. I'm not playing with nobody. The hell with all of you, you know. And then he comes back out the next day with another bombshell, another something else that's making the news, something that's ridiculous. Okay, we're looking at the Washington Post, and the headline goes, Trump refuses to support Paul Ryan, John McCain in upcoming Republican primaries. You know, and just like I just got through saying, those two are supporting him in his presidential run, and now he's not supporting them. So they can withdraw their support of him. It's just crazy. So that ends the unity the coming together of the Republican Party. That's it. That's it. I mean, Trump is like, Trump is a, he, I think he's a traitor. I think he's trying to be a dictator. I think he wants to be our king. And it's all about Trump. Trump acting as if he's the only one out here. He's, there's nobody but him. He's not looking at the people around him. He's not looking at the people, the supporters. He's looking at himself. I, Trump, me, it's me, it's I, it's what I do, it's what I want, it's what I am. That's, this is what Trump is. He wants to be our king. He wants to, it ain't going to happen because he's so far behind in the polls, it's ridiculous. And now he's saying it's all rigged. He's saying that Hillary and the Democrats are rigging the system. If he doesn't win, that means the Democrats have cheated. If he doesn't win, it means that the election should not stand. If Hillary Clinton wins, it should not stand because he's coming up with all kinds of excuses for his downfall. And he is going down. Nobody in their right mind would vote for this guy. His supporters are filled with hate, hate, vile. They're mad. They're angry. They're angry. Some people call them angry white trash. You know, and it's awful. And like I said before and all the time, stay tuned. This guy, Trump, really, really keeps this thing going. He, every day, every minute of the hour, there is something he's saying that is totally, totally ridiculous. Okay, Trump refuses to support Paul Ryan. Okay, Paul Ryan and John McCain. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is refusing to back House Speaker Paul D. Ryan in his upcoming primary election. Okay, saying in an interview Tuesday, which is today, that he is not quite there yet in endorsing his party's top-ranking elected official. This person is elected. Trump has yet to be elected. Trump also said he was not supporting John McCain. Remember, John, Trump had some harsh words a few months ago about John McCain, which was totally uncalled for. He said John McCain was captured in battle, so that made John McCain not a war hero, which everybody denounced. Wow. With Ryan's wedding for next Tuesday, Trump praised the House Speaker underdog opponent. Okay. All right. Okay. I get it. Trump was praising his opponent for running a very good campaign. Trump said that Ryan has sought his endorsement, but, you know, I mean, anytime you ask Trump for something like an endorsement, Trump is going to hold back on it because Trump feels like he's Trump. He can hold his, you want him to do something for you. You want Trump's endorsement. Oh, wow, you want my endorsement. You're going to wait for it because I don't have to give you a damn thing. Trump is a mess. He is a mess, and it's all over everywhere that this guy is going to go down. I said yesterday on the show, we must vote, and we have to vote. We have to vote strong, and we have to vote hard to keep this guy out of office. Remember, President Obama said it himself that this guy is totally unfit to be president of the United States. He is woefully unprepared to be president of the United States. And he is. I like Paul, but these are horrible times for the country. This is a quote from Donald Trump. He's saying, I like Paul, but these are horrible times for the country. Why is he beating around the bush, not wanting to support two people in his own party? He's beating. All he has to do is say, yeah, I endorsed them. And that's it. He's beating around the bush. He's going around the Mulberry bush trying to say, well, I like him, but I'm not going to endorse anybody right now. I mean, I may not endorse them at all. And it's just mind-boggling that Ryan and McCain are still saying that they want Donald Trump as their president when Donald Trump do not give two squats about them. It tells you Donald Trump's hold on the party. And it tells you that no matter how much you hear about Republican unifying, this isn't unifying squat. This is making the rift a lot longer and a lot heavier. You know, all right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to take a break right now. We should be right back, folks.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Blog Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, excuse me, I think I've got a frog in my throat or something. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing some upgrading in the studio here. And we're trying to make it a little bit more convenient for myself, the talk show host, and more convenient for the guest if they're calling in or coming by the studio or doing this or doing that. So we're trying to do some improvements, and we're going to try and extend the show to, instead of 4 days a week, we're going to try and go to 5 days a week because I totally enjoy doing this show. I really do. And it is so much fun. This, especially this political atmosphere out here today. So it's going to be great to talk about some of this stuff on into the November election. And when I talk about the election, I'm talking about the election for the United States of America, the presidency. And I'm talking about the election in Illinois, because we have to, in Illinois, we have to get Democrats in the General Assembly so that this tyrant that we have named Bruce Rauner doesn't get control of the House of Representatives and the Senate in Illinois, so he can pull through whatever he wants to get through to hurt people. To hurt more people, because the state of Illinois under Bruce Rauner has been destroyed just about. I mean, some of the programs that he, some of the vital programs for the people have been eliminated. They have been destroyed. They have gone away. Jobs have been eliminated under this guy. He has totally wrecked his state, and he wants to wreck it some more. So the folks in Illinois, we have to get out here and vote November to keep him from destroying this beautiful and wonderful state even more. That's what he wants. This guy is a failure as a governor. He gets an F on any report card, an F for failure. Of course, he doesn't think so. And he has the gall. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, has the gall of saying that he's going to run for re-election. Oh, yeah? We didn't vote for you last time. What? And even the people who voted for Bruce Rauner, they are very disappointed in him. You know, this guy is a failed governor. He hasn't done his job. I mean, he has executive powers. He's signing stuff here and there, but that's a lot of that is actually insignificant to having a full year budget for the state of Illinois. Right now, we're operating on a stopgap budget, which is basically a 6-month budget. So by January, we're going to be right back in the mess that we were in before, maybe even worse. You know, so we have to, you know, stop this guy from trying to control the General Assembly in Illinois so he can put his people in and just wreck this state some more. And by him wrecking this state, a lot of people, his unfavorability poll numbers are in the gutter. I mean, he maybe 35% or something. I think that's too high. That, it may not even be that high because he's totally disliked. He totally doesn't want to work with the General Assembly. He wants to work with the General Assembly, but he wants to work under his own conditions. He doesn't want them to have any conditions. He wants to be under his, you know, the way he wants to work with, how he wants. He wants to be the one who, and I'm trying to say, he wants to be the one who calls the shots. It's not going to happen because he's governor. He's governor. You know, he's a little bit similar to Donald Trump, as he wants to be the king of Illinois, and that's not going to happen. He has an opponent. I believe Jim Durbin, the senator from Illinois, he's going to maybe throw his hat into running for governor in 2018 against Rauner. And already he holds a 9-point lead over Rauner. So that should be troubling to Rauner if he's really, really serious about running for re-election of Illinois. He has done nothing but destroy Illinois, and we all know that, especially state workers. I mean, they can't stand this man. And people of Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, can't stand him. And he knows it. And he's done nothing but wreck this city, wreck this state. Devastate programs. Cut this, cut that, eliminate this, eliminate that. You know, I mean, name a program, either he's cut it or he's eliminated it. If he didn't cut a program or eliminate it, it's because it is under federal court orders not to touch that particular program. The majority of these programs that are not under federal court orders, he has either eliminated them or they've been cut drastically of money and people are out here suffering. And a lot of those programs that have been cut drastically or totally eliminated, I mean, that's caused Illinois unemployment to rise. Instead of Rauner actually creating jobs, he's creating unemployment, and people know that. The unions think he sucks. He does. He wants to bust unions. He can't stand unions. He can't stand Chicago Public Schools. You know, he's under fire for saying that teachers are illiterate in the public schools. He's on the fire for saying that Chicago public schools are crumbling prisons. Claypool, the guy who, the superintendent of Chicago public schools, called Rauner ignorant. But there's a lot of people out here are calling him a lot more than ignorant. You know, he's similar to Trump, some people say. But anyway, we have to get to the polls in November to make sure that this guy does not try to take over the Illinois General Assembly so he can put in his minions so he can just wreak more havoc on the state of Illinois. He wants to wreak more havoc on the state of Illinois, and that's not going to happen. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's see what we got here. Okay, let's see if we can take a break. All right, let's go.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Francie Healy.
You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Great. I was calling in to talk to you about my book, Eat to Beat Alzheimer's.
Oh, hey, wow. Welcome to the show. Great.
Give my audience a little bit of your bio and talk. Great. I'm a licensed mental health counselor and a certified health counselor, and I work with people on brain health, and I give them hope that it's possible to change the course of their brain health through diet and nutrition, and that it's possible to prevent Alzheimer's based upon the latest research in terms of what we eat and how that affects our brain. And I teach people how to cook and, again, how to eat in a way that supports their focus, their mood, their attention, and serves their whole body.
Well, you know what? It is just so ironic that food affects your health. Food affects everything. And you know what? Food can be the remedy to a lot of your problems.
Yes, and that's true, because it can, it's amazing, like garbage in, garbage out. Oftentimes we think that the expert is outside of us. We think that, that we go to a doctor and the doctor treats our symptoms, but is not looking at what we eat and how that affects our symptoms. And when you go to the vet, the first question they ask you is, what are you feeding your pet? I have a dog. What are you feeding your dog? But when you go to a standard Western medicine doctor, that is not the first question they ask. And I find that interesting.
Yeah. It's all about food. So you do brain research. I'm going to be a little bit sarcastic here. You think you can help Donald Trump?
Well, I would like to put him on fish oil, D3, lion's mane, and change his diet, and I think that might ground him a little more, might support his brain health, actually. There's certain supplements and foods that I think would benefit him and his temperament and help him with his
health. And not just
his tweets.
To be serious, just in general, anybody can be, Do you think that what you do has something to try to eliminate or it's a part of mental health?
Yes. That's how I got into this. Years ago, I was working as a clinical counselor, and I realized that I was just, in my internship, that I was in clinics, that I was only focusing on talk therapy, and I kept looking at how people were eating, and I recognized that something was missing. If these clients that I was working with, the serious mental illness, continue to eat highly processed, refined foods, white flour, no vegetables, I couldn't imagine how they were going to get better. And so that's what led me down this path of exploring food and mood and developing a practice, a private practice, serving people and educating them about how what they eat affects their mental health and getting good fat for their brain.
Yeah, so there's always people are always talking about good fat, bad fat, and some people can't differentiate between the two. But there is a certain thing called good fat.
Yes, and I'm so glad you brought that up. It's because you remember back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of people were fat phobic, and they thought like all fat is bad, and fat in makes you fat, which they later found out is not the case. So for years we were all eating these like chemically processed fat substitutes, later to find out that they were harming us and they were neurotoxins. So what we've learned now, and for the listeners, is that good fats like coconut oil, avocados, olive oil, fish oil feed the brain and actually help our mood and help with our cognitive functioning. And that's significant.
Yeah.
And then crowding out, of course, the trans fats.
Yeah. And some people say that carbohydrates are actually worse than some fats.
Some carbohydrates, like, so think of anything in a package. So anything in a box or a package, baked goods, junk food, refined and processed flours are processed in the body like sugar. And that creates inflammation in our body and in our brain and raises our cortisol levels. And that affects our cognitive functioning. And so yes, those types of carbohydrates deplete us. And versus like a complex carbohydrate like green leafy vegetables or, maybe a quinoa or a millet or an amaranth. You bring up really good questions and really good points.
Do you equate Alzheimer's with food, eating the wrong types of food?
I think it's one of many factors, the food. I think it's a significant, significant factor that's been widely overlooked. I believe that what happens when we eat a highly inflammatory diet and what the research is showing, and I do outline this, is that the food that we eat impacts the memory center of our brain, which is the hippocampus, the part that looks like a seahorse. And it impacts, by creating inflammation, it impacts our cognitive functioning. So it is a very big piece, and that's why prevention is getting a little more attention now, recognizing that what we eat can affect the trajectory of our brain health. So we didn't know that before, but there's been research done in the past few years that supports that, particularly out of UCLA with a Dr. Dale Bredesen, who did a study in 2014. And he found through diet and lifestyle changes, and he worked with 10 different people, he could impact the trajectory of their health. And out of the 10 people that had Alzheimer's, 9 of them improved and 6 were able to return to work. And that was significant. And so it was giving new hope to people and demonstrating the power of nutrition. And that's something we can have control over. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. It's good to know, because some people don't know that the impact of what you eat can really, really play a downside to your health. And a lot of us just gobble up food, fast foods here, there, here. So, what are some of the kinds of food that can actually, if you can be specific, what are some kinds of food that can actually improve your health, your brain health?
So wild Alaskan salmon, high in omega-3 fats, the brain loves it. Sardines, anchovies, Foods like dark green leafy vegetables, those are high in B vitamins, very important for the brain. Turmeric, it's a healing spice used in India. Interestingly enough, India has the lowest rate of Alzheimer's in the world. Turmeric, ginger, which I think is pretty fascinating. We're at 10%.
It is. Yeah,
and India is 1 to 2%. And there was a study done, and it showed that they thought that it was because of the healing anti-inflammatory spices they use, like turmeric and ginger and coriander. So these spices are powerful medicine. And then of course including coconut oil, which is a fuel for the brain, and olive oil and avocados. So, and then crowding out the things that are in a box or package. If you can eat this way, it helps your overall health. It helps with, obesity and prevention of diabetes and all sorts of inflammatory conditions. So even if you don't believe this. Yes?
Why do you say if?
If you don't believe this?
No, you're saying if you can eat these foods, if you eat this way.
Because this is the psychology of it. Because because we have free will, right, we get to choose. And even though we may think that it's a good choice to eat in this way, even though, somebody like me is saying to eat in this way, how do we get people to make sustainable, healthy changes in their lives? Not from a place of deprivation, not because I said so or you said so or the doctor said so, but because the desire to feel good and the desire to have a healthy and strong body is the priority. So there's a psychology to this. So that's why I say if, because you always, because it is a personal choice.
But it's one of the best choices.
Yes, it's one of the best choices, and it's one of the most powerful choices we can make, and we can model that to our children. Anne Wigmore says, she's a health leader, she says, the food you eat can either be the safest and the most powerful form of medicine or the slowest form of poison. I find that profound.
Wow. That's dramatic.
It speaks to me, and hopefully it speaks to others as well.
That's what it's all about. Okay, author Francine Healy on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Do you have a book? Have you written a book about this?
I have. It's called Eat to Beat Alzheimer's, and it's delicious recipes and new research to prevent and slow dementia. And it's on Amazon, it's at Barnes and Noble's, and I have a website, Eat to Beat Alzheimer's. And what I did was I created a manual, a place to start, so that for people who felt overwhelmed by making these changes in their lives, that they would know where to begin. And then I teach people how to cook with the foods I was just telling you about in a way that's tasty.
Yeah.
And I try to bring in the nutrition around it,
you're right. You got to make those kind of foods tasty, because your taste buds are not going to accept those type of foods just in the beginning. You have to make them tasty. So
that's key.
You were dropped. Francine Healy, her call was dropped. So we got to, let's see. Still there? Your call was dropped.
I know. I don't know what happened. That was surprising.
I don't know either. You just dropped off my board. You just dropped off the board. I said, what happened?
What happened? Where did she go? And here I am. I'm back.
Yeah. Something comes up. Her phone has dropped. I said, what? Okay. All right. Go ahead and
That's
continue.
Bizarre. So what I was saying is that if it's not tasty, then it's not something that is sustainable. And if people don't know how to use turmeric or ginger or kale or quinoa, then it's too foreign to them. Then they're not going to use it.
Yeah.
And so this is a step-by-step guide, and then it educates you about why it chose those ingredients. So that's important, you know,
that sounds interesting.
And to educate. Yeah, I think it's a good place to start. And my desire is to serve. It's like serve people, to let them know that there is hope.
You've outlined a lot of things. Have you implemented any of your or incorporated any of your personal experiences into you wanting to help others this way?
Have I incorporated any of my personal experiences? Do I want to serve people based upon my personal experiences?
Yeah, you might have had something in your life to make you want to, these things. Someone may have told you that you needed to eat right in order for your brain to function a little bit better personally, and you want to transfer that over to helping other people do the same thing.
Yes, thank you. I spent a lot of years as a vegetarian, and I thought that I was doing a good thing for my body. I thought that it was the right thing. I thought it was a moral thing. It felt right to me, and I got really attached to the dogma around it. I got really attached to this is the right thing to do. But what I failed to realize is that my body didn't like it. My body was suffering, and I started to lose a lot of weight. I had no energy. I just was getting frailer and frailer. And it wasn't until I learned how to tune in and really listen to my own body, my own nature, my own constitution, that I recognized that that was not the right choice for me, and that I had to relearn how to get back on track, how to know what foods nourished and depleted me. And through that process, I was able to work with other people in learning to tune in and to listen and notice how food affects them and notice the body sensations. And that's a powerful piece of the work. It's like, how do you know that milk doesn't agree with you? Or how do you know that it does agree with you? Who is the expert? You are. And so that has informed my work for many years, that lesson and that learning. And then subsequently, a couple of years ago, I shattered my bones in an accident at a bouldering wall. And I had to relearn how to tune into my body again, like how to be vulnerable, how to have people take care of me, how to pay attention to the clues of pain and how that was serving me, even though I was resistant to the whole long, arduous healing process. So it's another way that I got to show up and listen and share that information with the people that I work with. And so that's part of this work. It's not just about the eating. It's also about how we tune in and the connection we make with our wisdom.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I think you do great work. I totally appreciate it, and I hope everyone who's listening and those who will podcast the show will pick up your book and go to your website. Can you give us your website?
Sure, thank you. It's eattobeatalzheimer.com. eattobeatalzheimer.com and franciehealy.com. Either one you can get from there.
Okay. And your book is located on Amazon.com?
It's on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble's, and it's called Eat to Beat Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow. Thanks. So, thanks. Arthur Francie Healy on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Will you be writing any more books in the near future?
Yes, I will be, and I'm in the process. I'm doing a second edition of Eat to Beat Alzheimer's on the latest research, mm-hmm. and I'm also writing mm-hmm. another book on the mood and food connection, and educating people about how food affects their mood and what they can do about that, and so that they can empower themselves from a mental health perspective.
It's all about making the world a better place.
It is.
Yeah,
I know.
Daily
I'm with you.
It totally is. Okay, the show is about to end. Well, your segment is about to end. Would you like a link of the show so maybe you can put it on your website so people can come by when they come by your website, they can hear you on the show giving all of this excellent advice?
That would be wonderful. Thank you. Yes, I would like that.
No problem. Thanks for being on the show. Hopefully we can talk again.
I would really enjoy that. Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Francine Healy on the George Wilder Jr. Show. It was just great. And I hope you guys out there listen, because this is about making the world a better place. Every guest that's on this show is about making you a better person, better than what you are, saving your life. It's all about that. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about politics. It's about making the world a better place. It's about making you a better person. It's about making myself a better person. So don't ever think that this show is all about me. It is not all about me. It's about you. It's about the world. It's about making the world a better place. We will be right back. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Thank you. I am Samantha Bee. Welcome to Full Frontal. Listen, can we set politics aside for a second and appreciate that history was made last week?
I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
We have waited our whole lives to hear a woman say those words and then immediately get criticized for the voice she said them in. Gosh, you boys sure hate your mothers, don't you? Lucky for Democrats, their big shindig followed the four-day blooper reel that was the Republican convention, a poorly attended rage-a-thon featuring a parade of hemorrhoidal has-beens trying to literally scare up votes by making America shit its pants.
Every American should be terrified.
I half expected to close my mirror in the Cleveland Holiday Inn and see Newt Gingrich with a knife. TerrorCon 16 set the bar so low for the Democrats, we couldn't wait to see how they'd trip over it. After all, this is the party that brought us the 2004 classic, Fucked Up Balloon Drop.
Go balloons, go balloons, we need more balloons. All balloons should be going. Come on, guys, let's move it. Jesus, all balloons, where the hell is nothing falling? What the fuck are you guys doing up there?
What a catastrophe. The balloons were a mess, too. So, okay, Democrats, go on now. Your turn to embarrass the nation.
That is the story of this country, the story of generations of people who felt the lash of bondage, the shame of servitude, the sting of segregation, but who kept on striving and hoping and doing what needed to be done so that today I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn.
I'm not crying. I've just got tears coming out of my wherever. I'm sure America's racists lost their shit, forcing multiple news sites to fact-check the idea that slavery happened. It did. And when this election is over, we need to have a serious talk about education in this country. While the superdelegates scrambled to switch their votes to Michelle Obama, the DNC proceeded to put on a USA love fest that left us feeling like we just got a national blowjob from the American flag.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great.
Our best days are ahead of us.
Americans have never, ever, ever, ever let their country down. Never. Never!
All pledging allegiance under the same proud flag.
The greatest country on this planet.
America, we will rise!
God bless.
this America.
America.
America. America.
I'm not crying. I just have America in my eye. The convention was an unexpected triumph of positive messaging and flawless showmanship. Turns out, the Democrats had this in them all along, and all it took for them to get their shit together was the looming certainty of Armageddon. Bastards! The party of dreamers and immigrants wanted everyone to know they welcome refugees. In particular, refugees from the Republican Party, some of whom are feeling as homeless right now as the working poor they've been shafting for decades.
What we heard in Cleveland last week wasn't particularly Republican. See, my grandparents, they came from the heartland, small town folk. Some were Democrats, but a lot of them, maybe even most of them, were Republicans. Party of Lincoln. That's what happens when you're the kind of citizen Teddy Roosevelt once described. Ronald Reagan called America a shining city on a hill.
Come on, Republicans, who are you going to listen to? Agent Orange or Black Reagan? The entire week was an implicit middle finger to Trump's dystopian view of America, mixed in with some first-class trolling of a certain Law and Order cop humper.
I served as an NYPD officer.
I spent 27 years on the Orlando Police Force.
When I was Philadelphia Police Commissioner.
As a police officer.
Police officers are good people, doing a good job.
An attack on a police officer anywhere is an attack on our entire society.
Dad, as all of you now know, liked Police Academy. My mom and I loved Pride and Prejudice.
Damn, Chelsea just plagiarized both the Republican convention themes. But in 4 days of powerful rebukes to Trumpism, the most devastating came from the father of Captain Humayun Khan, who sacrificed his life while saving his fellow soldiers in Iraq.
You have sacrificed nothing, Donald Trump. You're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy.
He means it. He even picked out a copy of the Constitution small enough for Trump to fit in his hand. Now, naturally, America's burst appendix couldn't let that one slide.
If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me.
She was too choked up from seeing her son's picture. Why are you allowed to have anything to say? The bleak, militaristic scowling displayed on stage at the end of the Republican convention, this one ended with a joyful, affectionate celebration, particularly for Bill Clinton, who timed it perfectly so the shrooms were just kicking in. Balloons far out. So there she is, the official nominee, ready to face her greatest challenger, herself.
The truth is, through all these years of public service, the service part has always come easier to me than the public part.
Well, fortunately, the job of president doesn't have any public part, so you'll be fine. Look, can we get an Obama out here to do the rousing oratory? Sasha, Beau, any of them?
There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as president of the United States of America.
He's right. I wasn't ready. Now, the president's endorsement was echoed by the vice president, the former president, the TV president, senators, governors, athletes, preachers, the working poor, the self-made billionaire, Republicans, and, oh, just for good measure, half the fucking Pentagon standing on stage saying, vote for Hillary if you want to live. That is how good you have to be if you're a woman running for president. And she still might lose to this, the least qualified candidate ever to lurch into the public spotlight and shit on Gold Star moms while cradling Putin's sweaty sack. Let's hope Hillary doesn't get lipstick on her teeth between now and November or it's all over. We'll be right back.
Okay, all right. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Samantha Bee from cable television. And she's interesting. She's interesting. We're going to have more of that on the show as the show progresses on. And I want to say this, folks. This is August. This is August. This month marks my second year anniversary doing this show. Yes, this month of August marked 2 years of me doing this radio show right here on Block Talk Radio, Internet Radio, being the host of this show. 2 years. Hey, for me. Okay, let's see if we can get some applause for me doing this show for two years. Do we have that applause line? All right, 2 years, and it's a milestone for me because I didn't, when I first started this show, I didn't think I'd be here. I really didn't think I'd be here for 2 years. I didn't know if I could do it for a month or 2 months because it was such a new thing for me. But I knew that I wanted to do it, and I knew I could do it because by some other people, you know, telling me this and telling me that. Well, you did this. And I said, well, you know, let's try it. Let's try it. And I knew I had to find my niche, and this is it. And this is my second year anniversary doing the show. And I just can't wait till the next one and the next one. And because I love doing the show, I love putting in all my efforts and all my time in trying to make the world a better place. And I hope you're doing the same thing, too. Do something, go out and do something great for somebody, or do something great for your neighborhood, your community, your state, your city, whatever. Just do something for someone else and stop thinking about yourself all the time. Don't be a self-absorbed monster like Donald Trump and people like that. Donald Trump thinks of nothing but himself. That's not the way to go. We have to think about others. We are all in this world. And we're in this world to make the world a better place. We're not in this world to cause havoc, cause violence, but that's what's happening. But if that's what's happening, we got to try and do our best. But we can at least make that effort in trying to eradicate some of this stuff that's going on in the world. Sickness, disease, I mean, you name it, poverty, crime, wars, evil people, haters, racism, all of it, it fits all in the same hat. And we're out here to try to eradicate that and make the world a better place. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. on the show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. At the beginning of the show, we started talking about Donald Trump. He's going to be in the news forever. Even after this thing is over, even if and when he loses, Donald Trump is still going to be in the news. You know, he's still going to be there because he is such an actor. He is such a television personality. He is no politician. He is a television personality, and actually, I don't see how people can stand him during his television program, The Apprentice. All those people on that program, if you remember, if you recall The Apprentice, and I never sat down and watched it. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was about crap. But I did know that he was at the head of the table and everybody else were celebrities. I don't even know what the premise of the show was because that was as much as I thought about the show. Okay? I did not watch it. But I did know this by glancing at the show every now and then. He was at the head of the table. He was the boss, and I did hear him say a few times, "You're fired." I don't know why, for what, or why. I didn't care because I really wasn't following the show. But it was clear that a lot of those celebrities, or has been celebrities, or movie stars, or has been movie stars, they were just licking Donald Trump's feet. I mean, they were at his beck and call. I mean, they were his. They would do anything for him. you know, they were broke. They were down on their luck. And I guess he was giving them a second chance. But they were all over. I mean, they were ready to kiss his ass at any, literally kiss his ass at any moment, time in the show, because they were under his thumb. And that's what Donald Trump is trying to do to, I think, trying to do to the United States. He wants everybody under his thumb because it's all about him. Donald Trump is so absorbed in himself and no one else. It's him. You got to please him. You, not the vice president, not the people who are going to be in his cabinet. They say he's going to appoint Sarah Palin as a member of his cabinet. Now we cannot have that. We cannot have that. So I'm going to say this again. We have to vote and vote strong. We just cannot only beat Donald Trump. We have to annihilate him in the voting booth. We have to, he has to be beaten with a landslide vote, because that will send a message to the racists, the haters, the idiots, the buffoons out here just like him, that America is not about this and America will not tolerate anything like this. This is America. This is the greatest country in the world. He keeps saying he's going to make the girl, make America great again. America is already great. With his crap and his BS, he's bringing America down. He's destroying America with this. Donald Trump I'm going to tell you something, folks. I think Donald Trump is so dangerous. This guy could probably start a war before he even gets into the office. Because it seems like he's trying to start violence already, because he's telling his supporters, who are idiots in my view, that if he doesn't win, the election must be rigged. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are rigging the election. Every time he's down in the polls or it seems like he's losing, he's coming up with somebody's against him. Somebody's working against him. It's rigged. So he's using these code words to his supporters, basically saying, if it's rigged, if I don't win the presidency of the United States, you guys got to get out there and riot and shoot and kill and hate because the election's rigged. So Donald Trump could start something vital, even though he may not even win. He may not even get to the election, but he's telling his supporters that it could be rigged. And you know, if his supporters, which are haters, racists, some people say just white trash, if these people are just as brain dead, if they hear rigged so many times, you know, they're gonna be violence in the street, not just at his rallies, but violence in the street. Whether Hillary wins or not, it just may be violence in the streets with Donald Trump. He's not letting up. Donald Trump does not let up on any stupidity or racist thing or hateful thing that he says or things that are going on at his rallies. He doesn't apologize. He doubles down. He doubles down. He gets really messy with this. And this is, you know, I think this is one of the most interesting presidential elections of my lifetime. And I've been through a lot of them, folks. I have a young sounding voice, but I've been through a lot of presidential elections. And this one takes the cake. I mean, I would think this would take the cake for anybody who's been in the political arena for a long time and following situations like this. This one takes the cake. Donald Trump, I don't think he's done anything but elevate the Democratic Party, but he's done everything to deflate the Republican Party. He's not even supporting politicians in his own party for reelection. And some of these people are supporting him for presidency, and we don't know why. They criticize him. They said they criticize him. They don't agree with a lot of things he says, but they still support him. And I think I know why, because they're supporting him because they don't want Hillary Clinton to win the office. But there's a lot of Republicans who are turning away from the Republican Party because of Donald Trump to vote for Hillary. And Trump knows this. Trump is criticizing Hillary. He's criticizing the Democrats. But it's the mainstream people that is going to put Hillary over the top. You know, and he's criticizing you and me. If anybody criticizes him, he's going to come back at you. He's like Hillary once said or did say or still saying, the guy is thin-skinned. He gets upset at the least minute attack on him. I mean, you say something, you attack him for something politically, he's coming back at you, boy. Uh-oh, here comes Donald Trump. All right, you've been listening to the, I was going to say Donald Trump show. No way. No way, no how. He reminds me of Bruce Rauner of Illinois. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Clips are really, really strong. Okay, that one didn't go off. Let's see if this one works. Okay. All right, let's see. Donald Trump insults women. That's no news. I mean, he insults everybody. It doesn't have to be a woman. But basically, I like I said at the beginning of the show, I believe this guy has actually lost the women's vote. As, according to some of the polls, he's lost the women's vote. And most of the young white men who are set at, are upset at the world. And we just gonna have to find a way to deal with Donald Trump. He's entertaining. And this is what Donald Trump is being, I believe. I believe he's just being entertaining. It shouldn't happen, but this guy is just being who he is, and what he is entertaining. It's not good for a presidential stage. It's entertaining. Why is Hillary Clinton letting Donald Trump back her into the economy?
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama. Don't get quiet, because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama. We got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now look at you 8 years later. has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of... Your president sent a letter out to every school district in America 2 weeks ago. Obama. Don't get quiet. Because 8 years ago, y'all was dancing in the streets. Let's be honest. You was twerking, backsliding, somersaulting. We got Obama. We got Obama. Negroes ran around and said, we have arrived. The president is black. Now look at you 8 years later. Has done absolutely nothing for you or your children. I know he's president of all the people. I understand. But all the people are not gay, but he damn sure looked out for them. I understand he's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a Latino, but he looked out for them. He's president of all the people, but everyone in America is not a woman, but he damn sure gave white women the Equal Pay Act. So why is it that he got to be president for everybody when it comes to us? But it's okay for him to just be concerned with gay folks sometimes. It's okay for him to just be concerned with Latinos
sometimes.
Said,
I'm,
it's okay for him to
I'm
just be concerned with illegal immigrants sometimes.
Frick.
He can pay particular attention to every other non-white community in America, but when it comes to you, you're not allowed to expect anything from him. So Obama sent this letter telling the school districts of America that if you don't want to lose your special ed money, and if you don't want to lose your JROTC money, and if you don't want to lose your No Child Left Behind money, and if you don't want to lose your Title I money, you must allow transgender children. This is 2 weeks ago. This is new news. You must let transgender students use the bathroom of the gender with which they identify. This is what's going on now. So by the new year in New York City, you're going to have a situation where a boy can go into your daughter's bathroom because he's in the process of changing his gender. You're going to have a situation where girls can go into the boy's bathroom because she's in the process of changing her gender. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm an educator. I'm a school principal. The schools are out of control enough as it is. There's no law and order in the high schools anyway. So how do you add further confusion by now removing the sign off the door that says girl? And the sign off the door that says boy, and replace it with a sign that looks half boy and half girl, which basically says, do as you please. Well, guess what, black folks? This is your fault more than Obama's. Because it was we who championed him and his election. And stayed loyal. Even when he did nothing after the Trayvon Martin verdict. Stayed loyal when he refused to do anything about the systematic police extermination of black folks. You stayed loyal. Somebody said, we must protect him because he looks like us. Bill Cosby looked like your ass too. But you ain't rushing to help Bill. You let the bourgeoisie manipulate you and your loyalty into defending Negroes who are pro-status quo. Obama don't care about nobody in this room. But because you suffer from a paralysis of analysis, and because you did not ask critical questions of him 8 years ago, our children will suffer from the aftermath 30, 40 years from now. Let me tell you why Obama was put in office. I want you to be clear. Every president is given a domestic agenda, and a foreign agenda, every president. Regardless of who goes in the White House next year, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whomever, they're going to be given a foreign mandate, a domestic mandate. Obama's foreign mandate was to open up Africa's resources to exploitation again. He did that with AFRICOM. America has recolonized Africa on a level we've never seen before under Obamaism. And our African brothers and sisters are just as brainwashed as you are. I was in Africa on the eve of Obama's first and second election, and I couldn't tell them brothers and sisters nothing. Just like you, they had an Obama psychosis. God sent them, Jesus sent them, Muhammad sent them. So when Obama came to their table, they opened up the resources because his daddy allegedly was an African. That was the foreign mandate. Take back Africa. Guess what the domestic one was? Check this out. 8 years ago, the United States government, Hillary Clinton, because she's a population control junkie, we're going to get to that in a minute, because a lot of y'all pro-Hillary. First of all, I disagree with anybody who creates a dichotomy of any white person or people whatsoever. To paint Trump as the devil means Hillary is an angel. You should not be doing that. You're confusing your children. Hillary is no better than Trump. They are the same when it comes to African people. There's no difference there. The difference is only in your mind. See, white supremacy operates through the names, the titles. They said power is the ability to do what? What is power? The ability to define reality and make the victims accept your definition. Like you. You believe you exist in freedom. What the hell is free about you? You're not free. Freedom is the ability to do exactly what white folks do, when they do it, and how they do it, economically and politically. Are you free to buy a home anywhere? Are you free to work wherever you want? Is your child free to go to school wherever you choose? You were never free. You were emancipated. Abraham Lincoln gave you an emancipation. But the 13 colonies declared independence. Why would...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right.
Each day increase.
All right. I want to say something about crime in the city of Chicago, if I can follow that up. Okay, New York crime is at an all-time low. New York crime, I've got to say this again because it's almost unbelievable when I come to the comparison. New York crime is at an all-time low. New York is the largest city in the United States. Chicago is the third largest. It means that it's two states down from New York and Los Angeles. And Chicago has more crime than those two states combined. Now, what I'm trying to get to is why can't Chicago, the police department and the politicians in Chicago, find out what New York is doing or Los Angeles is doing to keep crime low and follow their lead or follow or try to find out what they're doing and implement that here? Because these guys in Chicago, they don't know what the hell they're doing. We've had a new superintendent in the city of Chicago for about 3 or 4 months now, and crime has just spiked under this guy. It has not gone down. They boast about taking 5,000 guns off the street here, there. And what they should be boasting about is lowering the crime numbers. Okay, so you take 5,000 guns off the street, but crime goes up. That's like nothing. I would suggest to the Chicago Police Department, find out what New York is doing to keep crime down and try to implement that same kind of thing in the city of Chicago. Find out what Los Angeles is doing and try to implement that same thing in the city of Chicago. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you guys join me tomorrow. I will be on tomorrow, same time. And thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow.